Hey there, guys. Welcome to another CMJ Speedway Review, live and in your face on a Wednesday night. My name is Chris Burns. I'm from that podcast that does stuff on another night, and we're not going to talk about it till the end of the show because it's snowing, and I don't want it to snow. I want it to be springtime. It's racing season,
yes,
not snowing season. On the other side of the screen, you're not going to see us again this week. We're going full-blown Radio Jones, but he is the voice of power, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour. His name is Corey Huffnagel. Corey, how the hell are you this week?
Hello, Chris. All I got to say is, you know, Las Vegas, you know, was pretty fun out there this weekend, and I don't know if a lot of the drivers did a lot of gambling and the casinos or whatever, but they did a lot of gambling out at the racetrack. But before we get to the races at Las Vegas, we want to talk about the penalty that was given to the four of Kevin Harvick at about, I would say, 2 hours ago. And this is what NASCAR states. The team was given a L1 penalty, which was found during teardown at the NASCAR R&D Center. Kevin Harvick has lost 20 driver points, 20 owner points. They also lost 7 playoff points as well. Crew chief Roddy Childress has been fined $50,000 and has been suspended for this weekend. And car chief Robert Smith has been suspended for 2 races. And all I got to say is, when I was looking up on the article this week that Kevin Harvick's rear window was kind of dented, I kind of questioned myself, you know, how that happened. But then yet again, it was like, you know, maybe it had to do some during the pit stop or during the race. I don't know.
You know, a lot of guys were talking about other cars that were having the same issue. And I'm not sure if NASCAR has found those drivers to be in violation of the rules. But of course, and I'm not going homerism on this one, I'm going to tell you, of course, you're going to look at the top 10 more vigorously than you do, say, a 21st or a 29th car. Am I upset by it? Why? There's no reason to be upset. If you make a mistake, you don't get through tech, you get penalized. It's that simple. Do I think it was intentional? No. Do I think it deserves a punishment? Absolutely. Accountability, 100%. I have no problem with the penalty.
I didn't either. One of my friends texted me like earlier. He said, I don't know how that car passed pre-race inspection.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pre-race inspection, post-race inspection, from what I can gather, are two completely different animals. So to find, especially when it was so visible during certain points of the race, you know what you're going to look for. I know they do the template. I know they do a lot of tech inspection, but I don't think that upper right window area in the back of the car, right near the K and Kevin Harvick on the window bumper, is something they look for in pre-race inspection. If it is, they missed the ball, and you know, maybe we would have had a different result this weekend. But there's no use crying over spilt milk. It happened. The penalty has been assigned. Now you just move forward, and I give a lot of credit to Stewart Haas Racing and the entire number 14. They're not challenging the ruling. They're just saying, you know what? Yeah, this happened. We got to take our lumps.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And there's 2 more news stories I want to cover before we recap what happened in Vegas. As you guys may have seen or not seen on the Facebook page or on NASCAR pages around Facebook and around the world, Matt DiBenedetto was looking for funding for a sponsor this coming week at ISM Phoenix Raceway. Wasn't having any luck. Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, and Darrell Waltrip, among others, all chipped in $5,000 apiece to get him the funding he needs to run his car this weekend. So we go from talking about something bad with Kevin Harvick to something good with Kevin Harvick, and throw Denny Hamlin and Darrell Waltrip into that mix. Guys, it's true what you hear. It truly is a racing family. They don't always have to get along. They don't always have to be the best of friends. But when the chips are down, these guys come together and they help one of their own.
I do agree. And, you know, especially helping a low-funded team, which runs in the top 20, top 15, like every week. You know, yeah, I was happy that, you know, Darrell, Kevin, and Denny chipped in $5,000 to help that team run. And just not to mention, Matt DiBenedetto one time finished 6th at Bristol, which I thought, wow, that's really impressive. But, you know, with DiBenedetto, like, I think I was watching this on NASCAR America, I think, yesterday. They said that, I guess, DiBenedetto is probably one of the most underrated drivers there is, because he's gaining a lot of the driver's respects at this point.
Oh, absolutely. He's as old school gets. When we were in Charlotte in 2015, he was a guy that caught my eye, not only for his performance on the racetrack in two of the three series that ran that weekend, but just as a human being on media day, everything. Matt DiBenedetto is a class act.
Oh, without a doubt.
So like you said, it's great to see the community come around, and I'm not sure. The last story I read was that Waltrip kicked in 5,000. Don't know how many more people have kicked into the Matt DiBenedetto fund, but the more the merrier. It's great to see it. And it just goes to show you that, you know, racing isn't just a bunch of toothless hillbillies going fast and turning left. They care about each other on the track as well as off the track.
Exactly.
So one of the things that came out this week was the list of 2019 nominees for the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and it's quite a list. I'm not going to read every name. I'm going to read some of the luminaries that most of you have heard of before. And, Corey, I'm not quite sure. Do they choose 5 or 6 every year to go to the Hall?
They choose 5. They choose 5 every year to go to the Hall of Fame. And no surprise, I saw Jeff Gordon's name on the nominee list. And all I can just say is there's no doubt Jeff Gordon is going to be a first ballot in the Hall of Fame. You know, easy vote, easy pick. Now it's just pretty much decides, you know, who else is going to be in the 2019 class beginning next year. And the way that this sets up, like, you know, they pretty much have to go through, like, results, like how many races they've won, how many championships they've won, and so forth, et cetera. And you look at all of these talented guys that have either raced in the sport or have either helped in the sport. These are some guys that, you know, that are that have been pretty famous and, you know, that have won championships and races. And looking at this list, like, it's pretty much tough to come by. But, you know, once they choose those 5 to get into the class, you know, that's the 5 that they voted for.
It's one of these lists that when I look at it, and I'm going to read off some of the bigger luminaries on this list, you can make an argument for any one of these, what is there, 20 guys?
Yeah.
Maybe more, but let me read off some of the names. Davey Allison, Buddy Baker, Harry Gant, Coach Joe Gibbs, Alan Kulwicki, Bobby Labonte, Roger Penske, Jack Roush, Ricky Rudd, Kirk Shelmerdine, and Watto Wilson. That's half the list.
Yeah.
And you can make an argument for any one of them. Maybe the one you could possibly say, well, he might have to wait a little while, is Davey Allison. Career cut short, much like Alan Kulwicki, career cut short. We don't know exactly how well Davey Allison would have done had he lived. Helicopter accident on the way to Talladega Motor Speedway back in 93, which was the same year, I believe, we lost Alan Kulwicki in very similar circumstances.
Yeah.
But again, when you're a guy like Davey Allison, you got the world at your feet, and you die early. I mean, this kid was only 32 years old, and he had the world at his feet. He had already won himself the 92 Daytona 500. He won the Coke 600 in 91. He was a 3-time winner of the Winston 500. He was an IROC champion. They gave it to him posthumously, but he was in the lead when that whole thing went down. 87 Rookie of the Year, 1983 ARCA Series champion. Here's a guy that's even on the top 50 of the greatest drivers of all time.
Right.
But when I look at this list and I see names like Gant, Gibbs, Penske, Roush, Ricky Rudd, there's a lot of guys you can make an argument for. But if he gets in, very well deserving. And much congratulations 25 years after his death to Davey Allison. If he gets in, he will eventually get in. That there's no doubt in my mind.
I look at Alan Kulwicki, and you think about him. He was probably one of the first ever owner drivers to win a NASCAR championship, especially back in like 1992 when he battled Davey Allison and Bill Elliott for the championship that year. Mm-hmm. But not only he was a driver owner, but he was also a guy that knew how to fix cars, that knew which goes where, how to tune the engine and everything and so forth. But just think about this. Alan Kulwicki came from Wisconsin to North Carolina, you know, with nothing on the table whatsoever. Here he was driving for his own team, And actually, the year before that, there was one time Junior Johnson, you know, wanted Kawicki to drive his car. But Alan said, you know, I do appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity to drive for the team, but I really want to do this myself. So sure enough, he had his own team, and then he ends up winning the championship. And I'd probably say that was pretty much David beating the Goliath. And I would say that, you know, if Kawicki gets into the Hall of Fame, he would be pretty much like the only like owner driver, you know, to beat the odds. Because think about it. You know, he pretty much beat the biggest teams, you know, that year, you know, Junior Johnson and Robert Yates at the time.
But, oh, yeah, not only Junior Johnson and Robert Yates, but you also had RCR, you had Penske, yeah, that were all up in that run for that championship in 92.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And then, like I said, you know, Alan Kawicki, like, you know, that was pretty much a true underdog story. And again, you know, his career cut short a year later. But, you know, like you said earlier, like, you know, how many races would he have won, you know, if he was still alive? You know, he could have won maybe like six or maybe more, or maybe a few championships. We just don't know.
Absolutely. And again, another guy way too young, 38 years old. His stat record, if you look at it real quick, 5 wins, 75 top tens, 24 poles. But you also have to consider he was only in his 7th full-time year on the Winston Cup Series at the time, Winston Cup Series.
Yeah.
So, again, a lot of untapped potential, a lot of what if, what could have been, and what we'll never know. But you're right. He's another guy that maybe might miss that cut because of the fact that it was cut short way too soon.
Right.
But, dude, as soon as I saw Alan Kowicki's name on that list, my heart jumped. I was always a fan of him. He wasn't my full-time favorite, but you don't root against Alan Kowicki, not in my mind. So, fantastic to see him. But, you know, you brought up Jeff Gordon. Again, first ballot, easy. He's going to be the first guy voted in, and he's going to be the last guy on the podium comes the 2019 Hall of Fame ceremony. And I can't think of a better guy and a better ambassador for the sport. I've said it over and over again here with you that he's easily the best analyst in NASCAR right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's all because of the time, the effort, the energy, and the class in the latter half of his career, the class that he exhibited on the racetrack. The first half of his career, he was young, he was brash, he was a bit of a complainer, and in his own words, said all it took was a talk with Dale Earnhardt, who at one point, I think it was in 98, took him under his wing and said, okay, kid, you've got everything it takes. Now, if we can just keep that hole underneath your nose closed, you're going to go on to do great things.
Right.
And lo and behold, 4 championships, 93 race wins, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
yes.
93.
My God. Without the championship, 93 career race wins is a Hall of Fame career.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially at the top level. But enough gushing. We've had enough fun. We want to let you know that next week we're going to be announcing a contest for one lucky listener. We're not going to tell you what we're giving away. We're not going to tell you the criteria until next week. But this is going to drive you, yes, you, the loyal listener, to bring more people into the fold right here on the C&J Speed Review. Once we have everything nailed down, you will know what you're fighting for and what you have to do to get it. We want to get more people involved in this show as we can. And who knows, maybe we'll do something once a year to show you our appreciation. But I think this is going to be a fun one.
Oh, definitely.
So why don't we pull the one-armed bandit and talk about some Vegas racing starting Friday night. The Stratosphere 200, and to nobody's surprise, the 51 of Kyle Busch comes home with a victory.
Yeah.
What did you see during that race, other than Kyle Busch taking everybody to school, that stuck out?
I would probably say that, you know, the race on Friday night was pretty exciting at times, and it was kind of like, you know, watching the trucks race in Michigan, where, you know, everybody would get a draft from another truck, and they would just pull down to the inside real quick. You know, once you get that run down the Nellis runway backstretch or whatsoever and so forth. But there were actually some guys who I was, you know, pretty impressed on. And another guy, one guy that I was actually really impressed on the whole entire night was Stuart Friesen. You know, started second, won stage two, led a couple of laps. And I said to myself, you know, this was a team that could have won the dirt race at Eldora last year. But what I didn't know of, you know, at the start of the season at Daytona, they said that his truck team, which is Chris Larson or something like that, so they're actually aligned with the GMS Racing. So that means, you know, they get their engines, they get their alliances and all that other stuff from the GMS race team. So I'm looking at it, I'm going, you know, Friesen could probably win before we get to Eldora in July, because the way I saw him race on Friday night, I thought he was going to win the race, and I thought he was going to punch his ticket into the playoffs, no doubt about it. But other than that, you know, Kyle Busch, like, whenever he steps in a truck or in an Xfinity car, there's just no doubt in my mind that he's going to end up winning. And the fact that he ended up winning on Friday night, which was his not only his first win of the season, but his 50th career win in the Camping World Truck Series.
Yes.
You know, he's going to be making a lot of history, you know, not only in the Xfinity Series, but also in the Camping World Truck Series, because now he's only one win short of tying Ron Hornaday for the all-time wins list in the Truck Series. And actually, I did some research this past week. So I was actually comparing how many wins both Kyle Busch and Ron Hornaday had, you know, when they were racing in the Truck Series. So look at this. So between 2005 and 2011, they had both, and both Kyle Busch and Ron Hornaday had a combined total of 53 wins.
Wow.
It's impressive. It's impressive, you know. But that was pretty much the rivalry that I really think stands out in the Truck Series, you know, when Kyle was in there for like the last couple of years. That's the only rivalry that I loved the most, you know, because here's Ron Hornaday right now is a Hall of Famer. You know, he won four championships, if I'm not mistaken. He won 51 races. And then you have Kyle Busch, who's a young guy. You know, basically they pretty much call him Rowdy like any time, any day. You know, whenever that 51 truck is out there on the racetrack, you knew he has a really good shot to win. But I look at Kyle Busch right now, and like I said, you know, I think the mile and a half racetracks this year is definitely going to come down to the KBM guys, you know, whether if it's going to be, you know, Kyle Busch or Noah Gregson or anybody else who drives the 51 truck this season. But another guy who I really expect, you know, is going to run pretty well in the mile and a half, so I think he's probably going to win a couple more races this year, is definitely going to be the 21 of Jody Sauter.
Good call on your part right there. Again, not a whole lot of surprises coming out of that Vegas race, with one glaring exception, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the eighth place finish of Cody Coughlin.
Oh yeah,
fantastic run for that young man, and hopefully we'll see more of him coming down the stretch in the future. So let's give you the top 10 coming out of Vegas. Kyle Busch was your winner. Johnny Sauter second. Brett Moffitt third. Grant Enfinger fourth. Stuart Friesen, we just mentioned him, in fifth. Dalton Sargeant, another fantastic performance, coming in sixth. This kid's going to be someone to watch.
Yeah.
Ben Rhodes in seventh. Cody Coughlin eighth. Dustin Fontaine in ninth. And Austin Hill comes home in tenth. Other notables, Noah Gregson in 12th. I know we both had high hopes for him this weekend. Unfortunately, didn't translate. John Hunter Nemechek in 21st. What happened to him?
So he ended up cutting a tire. I think it was like eight laps in during the race. And then next thing you know, he ends up getting penalized. I think it was either an uncontrolled tire or maybe speeding on pit road. I kind of forget that part. But yeah, Nemechek started ninth. He didn't have a good running. And I think he's going to be – I don't know what this next race is going to be either. He's going to be back in the 42 car soon, or he might be back in the 8 truck when they go to Martinsville in a few weeks.
All right. Well, there's no one else really on the list to look at and go, gee, they had a disappointing day. It's just things happen, and it's the last truck race until the 24th, so we're not going to be talking a whole lot of trucks for the next 2 weeks. But
right,
we are going to talk about the Xfinity Series. Saturday was the Boyd Gaming 300, and Kyle Larson drove his face off to win the race, overtaking Christopher Bell, who was the pole sitter. What was your standout moment of the race?
Well, we all knew that Kyle Busch wasn't going to go three in a row or pretty much sweep the weekend, but I would probably say this race, you know, yes, definitely another win for the Cup guys, which of course, you know, was won by Kyle Larson this weekend. But I was actually really impressed on Christopher Bell this past weekend. I mean, if you think about it, he finished third last weekend at Atlanta, comes home runner-up this past weekend at Las Vegas. And I'm looking at this kid right now, and I'm going, he's going to win a race soon. I mean, it's probably going to be either next weekend or the weekend before, but I think this kid is ready to win an Xfinity race. I mean, even though he won last year at Kansas, I mean, I really think this is going to be a kid to watch, especially driving the 20 car this year. And some other notables on here, you know, you had the other Cup guys, Austin Dillon finishing in 12th and then Kyle Busch finishing in 14th. Now, Kyle, you know, I really thought that Kyle Busch was going to have a shot at winning the Xfinity race because, you know, he's the all-time wins leader in that series as well. But he had a lot of problems during the race. He had handling problems, and then there was an uncontrolled tire, and then he just couldn't get back up in contention. But like I said, another win for the Cup guys in Xfinity. But I really think, you know, this will probably be the weekend where I think the Xfinity guys will shine, and hopefully they can steal the wins this year.
Oh, without question. And one you didn't mention coming in fourth was Ryan Blaney, who had a hell of a run, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes.
Yep.
You mentioned Christopher Bell, and again, he is going to break that ceiling. We've talked about him each week this season. We talked about him a lot last season, especially with the one Xfinity win, the Camping World Truck Series Championship. He's a kid with unlimited potential, and unlike a lot of young guys that move up sometimes way too soon, he's a guy that's showing, I deserve to be where I'm at. Yep. He's hanging. And he is fighting, and he's not giving up an inch. I like that about him. It's a very Harry Gant, Rusty Wallace, Dale Earnhardt. You know, and I know I'm referencing a lot of guys that a lot of people may have not have ever seen race before, especially depending on our target audience, could be 16 years old or 56 years old. But if you ever watch Gant, Wallace, Waltrip, Earnhardt, back in the day, they don't give an inch. They want to get out there and they want to win every single week. Top five is nice, and I know a lot of guys be like, hey, we finished top five. Let's go get them next week. Hell no. I want to be pissed off, and I want to go out next week, and I want to kick some butt, and I want to win the checkered flag. I see that in Christopher Bell, which is odd because he is a very young guy who grew up with participation trophies and ribbons for everything.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's every kid nowadays. That's a different topic for a different podcast. But he's got the heart and determination of a champion, not just because he got to hoist the Truck Series Championship last year, but he's showing it.
Yeah.
And he's doing it with class, style, and grace. Actually, we'll talk about it when we break down our picks for Phoenix, but I got high hopes for Christopher Bell.
Yeah, actually, the one favorite part that I liked in the Xfinity race on Saturday was him and Kyle Larson battling it out in stage one, and I pretty much looked at both of them, you know, battling for the lead. Like, I'd probably say, like, before, like, the ending of, like, 80 laps and so forth. These are guys that, you know, not only they race on the dirt tracks, but let's not forget that these guys raced each other at the Chili Bowl this past year, which, right, of course, Christopher Bell won. And I thought that was a great, you know, highlight, you know, during that race on Saturday. You know, obviously, Bell ended up winning the first stage, holding off Kyle Larson, but... And, you know, like I said, like, you know, there's a couple of these Xfinity guys who I really think that, you know, can steal the stage points, and hopefully, you know, they can punch their ticket for the playoffs coming up in September.
I would like nothing better.
Right.
Nothing better. So let's run down the top 10. From Vegas at the Boyd's Gaming 300, Kyle Larson comes away with the victory. Christopher Bell second. Justin Allgaier third. Ryan Blaney fourth. Elliott Sadler fifth. Daniel Hemric comes in sixth. Brandon Jones seventh. Tyler Reddick eighth. Cole Custer with a nice rebound coming in ninth.
Yep.
And Spencer Gallagher rounds out your top 10. Other notables, you mentioned Austin Dillon with a 12th place run. Kyle Busch with a 14th place finish. Kaz Grala, 16th. Not the best day for him. He kind of stayed right close to where he started.
Right.
And as I go down the list, there really isn't anybody that is disappointed other than the 60 car of Austin Cindric.
Yeah.
Bad day for him?
Yeah, he ended up spinning out, I think, like, close to the end of the race. He was trying to race one of the lap cars, and then he ended up getting loose and then hitting the wall, coming down the backstretch whatsoever. And, yeah, another disappointing run for him, even though he finished in the top 10 last week. But not only, you know, I'm going to be interested in watching this kid, you know, run for the championship this year, but it's going to be kind of, you know, it's going to be kind of confusing, like, you know, what car he's going to drive, like, you know, every single weekend. So it's basically going to be like, oh, what car is Austin going to be running this weekend? He's like, oh, he's going to be running the 22. Like, okay. Next weekend, be like, yeah. Oh, what car is Austin going to race the next weekend? Oh, he's going to race the 60 car. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of don't like the bounce back, and I know we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm not a big fan of the bounce around teams, or should I say the bounce around drivers. They can't help it. They just want to get behind the wheel and get out there and whoop some ass. They have to do it in any way they can. But it is nice to know you have a home. It is nice to know you have a team. Yeah. Yes, you have a team no matter where you go, but the guys in the 60 may not do the same job as the guys in the 17 or whatever car you're running this particular week. You may have a better chemistry with one particular crew versus another. I could not imagine, just to throw a name off the top of my head, Darrell Wallace, doing that on the cup level. Well, I'm in the 43 today, but I'm in the 71 next week, and then the week after that I'll be in the 46. Right. And you basically have to learn a new system each and every time. The spotters could be different. The crew chiefs could work a certain way. The crew themselves that goes over the wall could have a different strategy each and every time out, and it may not jive with yours. It's good to have a home. So, unfortunately, he's in a real bad spot right now.
Yeah, I really think the good thing about this is that, you know, let's say, like, if he races, you know, the 60 car one weekend, then the next weekend he goes back to, like, either the 12 or the 22 at Team Penske. He can bring that chemistry, and he can bring it to the guys over to the 60 team and be like, you know, okay, guys, this is what I was running the last time, and this is what, you know, adjustments we need to set up and so forth. So not only, you know, I know we're not really a big fan of, like, the driver, like, jumbo and all that other stuff in between, but think about this, like, you know, I really like the fact that, you know, he can bring that chemistry back to, like, the different team, or let's say Team Penske, and then say, like, you know, look, this is what we ran the last week, so I think this is what we should run this week and so forth.
I don't disagree with that, but it would be nice to see Austin Cindric find himself a 100% racing home on the Xfinity Series, because let's be honest, he deserves it. He shouldn't have to go from home to home. He seems like a divorced kid with three fathers. I just feel bad for him.
I do too.
All right. Well, now we go on to the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube, which was run on Sunday, which I like to call week two of the Kevin Harvick Appreciation Day Parade. I had so much fun watching Kevin Harvick walk away with that win, although I did like the fact that Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, Keselowski, all at different times were giving Kevin a run for his money.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I want to see the four car in victory lane, and that's what I got to see. One of the things I took away from this race that I want to bring up is we talked about it last week, and he showed it this week, even though he didn't make the top 10. Jimmy Johnson, it's not time to hit the panic button on you yet. You started way in the back. You worked your way up. You had a couple bad incidents, and he still came away with a 12th place finish.
And not to mention his car chief got ejected before the start of the race, too.
Exactly. They failed tech three times. Yep. I mean, you know, and somebody asked me, well, what does that mean? I mean, it's very simple. You roll your car through. They tell you what's wrong. You go back and fix it. You do it again.
Yep.
One time, okay, I'll buy it. Two times, yeah, I might buy that as well. Three times, nope. You take your gear and you go home, and we're going to do this with another guy. Yeah. So props to NASCAR, but I have to say this out loud. Props to Jimmy Johnson for running a hell of a race and coming home in 12th that day.
It's not too bad of a run, but then yet again, like, you know, I really want to see more out of this team this year, and I'm pretty much going to give him, you know, Martinsville and Dover, and see if he can try and win those races over there. And if he doesn't win at those two tracks, I really think there's going to be a problem with the 48.
You're basically giving him either until March 25th, which is the next Martinsville race, or Dover, which is May 6th. I mean, I know we've used Charlotte as our linchpin for a lot of these guys. You're kind of giving it a little bit of an early tripwire for Jimmy Johnson. Why is that?
Well, Think about this. So, you know, Martinsville, he's won there 9 times. And then Dover, he's won there 10 times. So if you think about it, those are the only tracks that he's dominated on and that he's won races that he's led most of the laps there. And you look at all the other tracks, you know, on the NASCAR circuit, he's basically won at almost every single one except, you know, pretty much Chicago and then, yeah, Kentucky whatsoever. You go to Las Vegas, you know, he's won there 4 times, hasn't won there in a while. Then you go to Phoenix, he's won there, I'd say 4 times, hasn't won there since, I don't know, maybe the last couple of years. California, he's won there a few times. But I really think that, you know, if this team is going to be a championship threat, and that if they really want to win that 8th championship, they have to step it up this weekend at Phoenix. You know, they can't have any more BS runs. They can't have any more, like, shenanigans that's going on, like, in practice whatsoever. Like, no, they need to, like, they need to figure out, like, what's going on with the car. And they just have to, like, they just got to start running better. And they got to start running better in practice. They got to do good in qualifying. And not only that, they got to get some stage points. Because if you remember last year, the only time Jimmy Johnson won a stage was at Sonoma. He only had, like, one stage win, which was, you know, I kind of found it surprising. But then yet again, this is a team who doesn't, you know, get a lot of stage points throughout, like, most of the season. And if you look at, like, most of the top 10, you know, during the first two stages, you hardly don't even see the 48s up on that top 10 at the first two stages.
No, not at all. So, wow. You know, whenever you spew your stats, I'm just in awe sometimes because you just rattle it off and you're like this, that, and the third, but it all makes sense and you paint a compelling picture of the 48 team. I'm going to have to agree with you, but I'm going to go to Dover.
Yeah,
I don't think their troubles are going to be figured out by Martinsville, which is just what, 3 weeks away.
Yeah,
I think what's going to happen is they're going to learn something new every week. If you're not learning something new every week in your NASCAR team, especially under Hendrick Motorsports, which is a question I have for you before we get into Phoenix this week, and I'll get to that in a minute. You pick up something new, you carry it forward, you take it to the next track. I really do think that Dover is going to be the linchpin in this conversation where if Johnson's woes, if he doesn't have a couple top fives and a couple top tens, by Dover. Oh, excuse me. Good granny. Where'd that come from? If he doesn't have his proverbial poop figured out by then, it's time to hit the panic button.
Yeah.
So, real quick, we're going to run down the question I have for you, and then we'll go to the top 10 and move on to Phoenix. Hendrick Motorsports, not having the best season on earth. I know we're 3 races in. But you have elder statesman Jimmy Johnson, 7-time champion, struggling mightily. You have Chase Elliott. Chances are it's going to be the most popular driver award winner this year, struggling mightily. You have Alex Bowman, who, unless I said his name right now, you haven't heard his name all season. Then you have William Byron, who, if you do hear his name, it's because he's being lapped by the leaders. Is the water coming onto the boat too fast for Hendrick?
I wouldn't say it's coming on too fast. I mean, considering the fact that, you know, and I think Greg Ives said this on, like, XM Radio, I think, a few days ago. He said that, you know, they did struggle, you know, on the tracks that are, like, aerodynamic and so forth. But, you know, I would say that, you know, they're just trying to figure out this new car out, if I would say, like, in my opinion. But I look at Hendrick Motorsports, and yes, you know, they didn't get off to a good start in the Daytona 500. You know, Atlanta was kind of, you know, shaky. Then this past weekend in Las Vegas, you know, not really like the decent finishes that they were looking for. But, you know, I really think it's kind of too early, like, to tell, like, what this team's going to do this season. But, you know, like I said, like, you know, I'm gonna probably give them, like, you know, maybe until, like, you know, the all-star break or pretty much Dover, like, to see how this team does. But, you know, then yet again, like, you know, this was a team that, you know, a year ago, you know, the only teams that were really good, you know, on the Cup side for Hendrick, I would say, was Chase Elliott. And, you know, considering the fact that he could have won a race last year, could have went to the championship four, and then yet again, like, you know, just didn't pull it off. But I would say, like, you know, the water's not rising up too high yet, but, you know, I'm going to have to, like, see, like, the mid part of the season, like, what this team can do.
You know, coming up throughout NASCAR over the last 297 years that I've been alive, I don't think that I've ever seen quite the, I don't want to say collapse, because, again, it's too early to start tagging their toe and calling for, you know, the body wagon to come around and pick up everybody. I just want to go through the last 2 weeks, Vegas and Atlanta. And I want you to forget everything you know about NASCAR real quick.
Okay.
Let me read these finishes off to you. Atlanta, 10th, 18th, 20th, 27th. Vegas, 12th, 16th, 27th, 34th. Now, if you are not a fan of NASCAR, you might say, okay, there's something there to be built off of, and it's not the worst day ever, and you come back the next week, and yada, yada, yada. These are the last 2 weeks of finishes for Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah.
Whereas in the day, and you could use the back in the day as 5 years ago, you could use back in the day as 1998 or whenever. There was never a back-to-back week like this for Hendrick Motorsports in, my God, however long they've been a multi-car team. I'm not saying that the ship is sinking. I'm saying they need to go get themselves a big old roll of Flex Seal down at their local Ace Hardware and patch that hole real, real quick.
Yeah.
Because that is very much, to me, and just looking at that, and guys, if you're listening and you want to chime in on the Facebook page or on the Twitter at CJ_Speedway, this is very, very bad looking when you're talking about the crown jewel of NASCAR Monster Energy Cup racing for Hendrick Motorsports. Not a single digit in the last 2 weeks.
No, and, absolutely.
And if you'll allow me to go back, because Daytona was only 3 weeks ago, not in the top 10 either. Let's go down the list and find, this is going to be a new game, find Hendrick Motorsports. 17th, Alex Bowman. 23rd, William Byron. Chase Elliott, 33rd. And Jimmy Johnson, 38th. So now, let's just add insult to injury. And unfortunately, that's not what I'm trying to do. I want to know where is, I've never been a fan of Hendrick Motorsports, but where is my Hendrick Motorsports? Where is this team that is always on your heels fighting for the win?
Just, I mean, it's a good question, but, you know, I mean, yet again, like, you know, I've never seen, you know, them struggle like this, but, you know, like I said, it's only three races in, so only time can tell what this team can do. And the question is, like, when they can get their first win of the season. It's pretty much simple as that.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that their first win is going to come March 18th at the Auto Club 400 in California. I'm not going to say who, but I just have a feeling that that's been a track that Hendrick cars historically do very well on. I'm stamping it now. Auto Club Speedway, March 18th.
All right.
All right, so let's go to your top 10. In the Kevin Harvick 400, I'm sorry, the Pennzoil 400 presented by Jimmy Lube. As we mentioned, Kevin Harvick comes in first, runs away with the whole race. Three stages, bada bing. Kyle Busch, second. Kyle Larson, third. Great finish for him. Martin Truex, fourth. Another guy that people are worried about, but hey, you put him on a mile and a half, he's in the top five.
Yeah.
Ryan Blaney with an impressive fifth. Brad Keselowski, sixth. Joey Logano, seventh. Eric Jones, eighth. Paul Menard surprising the world with a ninth place finish.
Yeah.
And Eric Almirola in tenth. Other notables that we should mention, right off the top of my head, Ryan Newman and Jimmy Johnson running 11th and 12th. Great showing by Newman. We'll talk about him later. Bowman comes home 16th. Denny Hamlin gained himself a new fan this weekend in the form of my stepdaughter, who was a Danica Patrick fan, sat down with me for part of the race and said, you know, I really got to pick a new driver. And I said, do you want a young guy? Do you want a middle-of-the-road guy who's got some years left to him? You want an elder statesman like Harvick or Johnson. And she's watching the crawler. She's watching the cars. So, Denny Hamlin, congratulations. My stepdaughter, Madison, is now a fan of yours. Good job by you. Let's go down. Darrell Wallace, all right. 21st. Not a great day for him. Matt DiBenedetto, who we talked about, 22nd. And one of the most surprising things for me is 34, 35, 36. Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, Jamie McMurray, all plagued with problems this past Sunday. Terrible to watch, especially Elliott and Busch, who got together when Busch got squirrely.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do. Bad luck for both of them. It was nice to see them interact after they got out of the infield care center, because they both knew when you watch the replay, it's like, that wasn't anybody's fault.
No.
I hate this term, but I'm going to use it. It was just one of those racing things.
Yep.
All right. So now we move on to one of my favorite weeks of the year ever in the history of ever in NASCAR, and that is Phoenix, now called the ISM Raceway, Phoenix, Arizona.
And there goes Chris. So as he mentioned, so the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series will be at Phoenix this weekend. So Saturday you have the DC Solar 200. That'll be, I believe, 4 o'clock Eastern Time on FS1. You can also stream it live on FSGO on the Fox Sports Go app. And then Sunday you have the Ticket Guardian 500, which known last year was the Camping World 500. Now the Ticket Guardian 500, which will be on 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox. And you go. So it looks like Chris. Not sure what happened to him, but we just lost him on the other end, and we're gonna try and fix the situation whenever we can here. But so I want to go to the DC Solar 200, and I want to try and find the entry list if I can on this, even though my computer sometimes can be a little bit squirrely. But sorry guys, just give it a minute. And I want to go out to the entry list for the Xfinity Series. So with this in mind, we got a couple Cup drivers in the field, and I'm gonna run down. Okay, as soon as my computer, can be a little bit, faster. Okay, so let's see. So the only Cup guys that we have in the field, we have Ty Dillon racing in the 3. We have Kyle Busch is going to be running in the 18 car this weekend. Brad Keselowski in the 22. We also had Jamie McMurray, who's going to be running the 42 car on Saturday in the Xfinity Series. So correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the last time Jamie McMurray won an Xfinity race, I think it was back, and actually correct me, guys, if you know the answer, but the last time Jamie McMurray won an Xfinity race was back in 2010 at Atlanta Motor Speedway when he was driving the 88 car for Junior Motorsports at the time. And Jamie McMurray, if you look at his Xfinity career, let's see. So if you look at his Xfinity career, it's been pretty decent. The last couple of years and so forth. So you look at his Xfinity career, 187 starts, 8 career wins, 31 top 5s, 68 top 10s. Not a bad stat. And looks like I was right. Last time he won an Xfinity race was 2010 at Atlanta. And the last time he made an Xfinity start was back in 2013 when he was driving for, which was Junior Motorsports. And he was running at Richmond. It started 14th, finishing 10th. And so as Chris mentioned, we're going to do the locks and sleeper for the we'll start off with the DC Solar 200 at Phoenix International Raceway. So my lock this weekend, and I was actually doing a lot of thinking on this, but I would say my lock for Saturday is definitely going to be Christopher Bell. And if you think about this kid, he's already coming off a second-place finish in Las Vegas, a third-place finish at Atlanta, And something tells me that this kid is going to be the one to watch this season. And looks like we have Eddie on the line. What's up? Okay. All right. So anyways, let's see. So back to what I was saying. So yeah, this is a kid who I really think is going to win the race, is going to win a race this year. If not, I think he's going to win multiple races this year. And I actually predicted that this before the start of the season, I wouldn't be too surprised if he competes for the championship this year at the championship four at Homestead. Because I really think that this is a team who I think is going to be a one to watch this season, especially when it comes to the mile and a halfs. And then, of course, you know, all the other tracks this season in the Xfinity Series. You know, it's going to be fun watching this kid, especially how, you know, on Saturday when he drove his butt off, you know, trying to win the race, but he couldn't pull it off, you know. But anyways, that'll be my lock for this weekend. My sleeper, as I'm looking down through the list, you know, my sleeper this weekend is definitely going to be Jamie McMurray. Now, this is the first time he's running an Xfinity race in a long time. And this was back in 2013 when he was running for Junior Motorsports. But now him and Kyle Larson are going to be sharing the 42 car, I'm sorry, the 42 car along with John Hunter Nemechek. And I really want to see how Jamie McMurray does in the Xfinity race on Saturday, even though you got a couple cup guys that are going to be running in the races this year, even though some of them who have more than 5 years of experience, you know, are only going to be running seven this year, which, of course, you know, the drivers who have 2 years of experience, they can run whatever possible and so forth whatsoever. And for all the Austin Cindric fans out there, Cindric is going to drive the 60 car yet again for Roush Fenway Racing on Saturday. So if you guys remember, he is going to be running the 22 car. He's going to be running the 22 car, the 12 car pretty soon, in my opinion. And looks like Chris is going to be working on his stat on the other end. So as soon as we get back to him, he will be giving out his lock and sleeper for the Xfinity and the Cup race this weekend. So my lock and sleeper for the Ticket Guardian 500. So my lock this weekend, and this is pretty much an easy question, or an easy answer, I should say. I wouldn't be too surprised if Kevin Harvick goes three in a row. You know, when you talk about Phoenix, you talk about a racetrack where, you know, Kevin Harvick has won so many times at that racetrack. I think he only has like six wins, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just trying to add the number in my head of like, you know, how many races he's won at Phoenix and whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, given the fact that he's won the last two races this year, you know, he's already in the playoffs and we already know what this team can do, But I really think Phoenix, I think this is going to be a racetrack where I think Kevin's going to be, is going to have a strong race car. I think he's going to lead most of the laps. And I really think this is a team who I think is going to be one to beat come Sunday. And my sleeper, for this race, as I'm scrolling down through the list right now, my computer right now is yelling at me saying it's too slow, whatever, but I'm going to try and like, you know, try and make it, you know, make myself win anyway. So my sleeper this weekend, I'm definitely going to have to go with Chase Elliott. So if you guys remember about a year ago, actually it was the playoff race last year where him and Denny Hamlin got together. And then of course, Denny cut the tire and then, you know, he ends up cutting, you know, hitting the wall whatsoever. That pretty much ruined Denny's chances on going to the championship for a year ago. So Chase Elliott, you know, you look at him last year, could have won the race, could have went to the championship four, and then he ends up getting passed by Matt Kenseth, who says that, you know, he's stepping away from the sport, you know, who knows how long and so forth. And so we have Chris back on the line. Chris?
Gotta love snowstorms, my friend. Gotta love snowstorms. All right, so where were we?
All right. So I think we were previewing Phoenix ISM Raceway this weekend.
Well, it sounds like you've probably given your synopsis of Phoenix, and I kind of want to get this squared away. I don't want to rush, but the snowstorm is really wreaking havoc here at the house. I apologize to you, Corey, you, Eddie, and everybody involved. Nothing really we can do. Mother Nature hates NASCAR, especially here in the Northeast. My lock for this weekend is Christopher Bell. Momentum, momentum, momentum. I'm going to say that a lot this season. My sleeper is Cole Custer, another guy who keeps creeping. I'd really love to see them do well. I'm sure whatever you said is probably spot on, 100% great, and I'll see. I'm going to watch this back tomorrow because I'm really interested in what you have to say about this race.
Yep.
So moving on, we have the ISM Raceway 312. I always did not like the fact that they did it in kilometers rather than miles, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, I don't see a whole lot of surprises in the field. It's the usual suspects. So give me your lock. Give me your sleeper. And again, once every blue moon, I'm going to change the rules. I have a hopeful for this weekend.
All right. So do you want me to start off with Xfinity?
Oh, you didn't give your Xfinities? I thought you did while I was gone. My mistake. Go ahead.
Okay. So real quick, my lock for the Xfinity race is going to be Christopher Bell. Nice. My sleeper is going to be Jamie McMurray.
Really? Yep. Why McMurray is a sleeper, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I was actually looking through his stats for the Xfinity series, and actually it's kind of funny. The last time he made an Xfinity start was back in 2013 at Richmond when he was driving for the Junior Motorsports at the time. And it's actually funny because the last time he won an Xfinity race was back in 2010 mm-hmm. at Atlanta when he was driving for Junior Motorsports. And you look at his Xfinity career, 8 wins, 31 top 5s, 68 top 10s. It's pretty decent, you know. But then yet again, like, I was kind of questioning, like, you know, why, you know, Chip Ganassi was going to have Jamie McMurray, Kyle Larson, and John Hunter Nemechek share the 42 car in the Xfinity Series this year. But, you know, then yet again, like, that's going to be another one who I'm also going to be keeping my eye on this year and see how many wins both he, Larson, and Nemechek can rack up this season.
That's going to be a team to watch, that 42 team, especially after this past weekend with Kyle Larson going to victory lane. You have McMurray, who is a proven winner, piloting the 42 on the Xfinity Series this weekend. Like you said, John Hunter Nemechek, major upside. He's going to do wonderful things. I could see this team, between those three, taking 6 races between the three of them this year.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. It is the Ticket Guardian. Oh, did the name change while I wasn't looking? The Ticket Guardian 500. How about that?
Yeah.
Maybe I had no idea what it is. You rotten Phoenix people, I see what you did here. It's a 312-lap race. It's the Ticket Guardian 500. It is the usual suspect on the Cup Series, and I am always curious to hear what somebody has to say, especially if their name is Corey, about their lock and their sleeper in Phoenix.
Well, I probably say my lock, no surprise, is definitely going to be Kevin Harvick, because you think about Phoenix, you think about how many times he's won at this racetrack, you know, whether it was either like the old configuration or the new configuration, like, you know, there's just no doubt in my mind that, you know, this is one of Harvick's favorite racetracks. And I think that this is a car, I mean, this is a racetrack where I think this team is going to be, you know, the one to beat come Sunday. And I think, you know, everybody's going to have a tough time trying to catch that 4 car this weekend. And then my sleeper, definitely going to have to be Chase Elliott. You know, remember last year, I think it was in the playoff race where he was trying to win the race, you know, but then yet again, he ended up getting passed by Matt Kenseth like late, you know, for the win. And I probably say that the second time around, I really want to see how this 9 team can do. And hopefully, you know, they can get back up on their feet.
Great point all the way around. Again, I'm going to go with you on the lock. There's a reason that Kevin Harvick is the Desert Dominator. 7 career wins. Just that I can count, there might be more.
Yeah.
Don't have time to go to the Google machine. I don't know when the Wi-Fi is going to clip out again. But he's the Desert Dominator for a reason. So that's why Kevin Harvick is my lock. Not just homerism, but like you said, look at the stats. That is a track that he grew up on when he was running, you know, NASCAR West. That was one of the tracks that he came up and ran constantly. When he got to the Cup Series, once he learned that car, He really did. He came out of the box strong, and every year he makes Phoenix his playground. Wow. My sleeper this week is the guy who won it last spring, Ryan Newman. Had a couple strong runs toward the end of last year, had a couple strong runs this year. I think if Harvick doesn't win it, you're going to see the 31 in victory lane. Now, once in a blue moon, and I know I've done it twice in three races this year, I'm throwing a hopeful out there. Let's hope that with all the love and all the money and all the support he's been given, that we could see quite possibly Guido himself, Matt DiBenedetto, get himself a top 10, top 5 finish at Phoenix this weekend at ISM Raceway.
That would be a feel-good story out of the weekend.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? You have often said that one of your favorite movies is Days of Thunder.
Yes.
You remember when they win that race and Randy Quaid comes up there and says, "We got ourselves a sponsor!" And they
all
put the hats on and everybody's kissing babies and having a good time. That's what I want to see from Matt DiBenedetto this weekend. That feel-good moment. They go with an underfunded team that might have Darrell Waltrip's face on the hood or a Cougar, or now I'm going Talladega Nights. I'm mixing movies now. Or just they could just put a smiley face on the hood, go and run the race and have a good time, win the race, hopefully.
Right.
And out of nowhere, someone swoops in and says, here's $1 million. Go race your ass off. That's what I want to see from Matt DiBenedetto.
Definitely.
I have two sponsors for him. One is the perfect sponsor. One is a long shot. I want to see a Diet Dr. Pepper car out there. I'm addicted to Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yes.
It is the sweet one. And Matt DiBenedetto is one of those guys who gets on his little Facebook machine or his Twitter machine, makes little videos. He is a real nice guy. So that would be a perfect sponsor. The other one, Mr. DiBenedetto, if you're listening, is the Loki and Jabroni Show, which you can find Tuesday nights live on Facebook and Wednesdays on iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. I would love to see our podcast on the front of a car driven by someone who's not going to wreck everything except the flag stand like Dennis Patrick.
Or pretty much wreck almost anything except the hot dog guy.
Pretty much. I'll buy that. So do you have anything to plug before we say our goodbyes and pay the bills?
All right, so like I said, go to NASCAR IndyCar Central. We are on Facebook, Twitter. We are at NASCAR IndyCar. Oh, no, wait. Twitter at NASCAR Indy. Instagram at NASCAR IndyCar. Go to my website, NASCARIndy.org. I also post up blogs for this past weekend's races and so forth. They're pretty interesting to see and come by. And actually, one simple fact, like before we go, the next time the guys go back to Phoenix, which will be in the playoffs in November,
yep.
The track's going to be reconfigured. So
that's right.
So meaning the start-finish line, I believe, is going to be in the dog leg the next time they go back in November. So
right, which so right now is where they come out of turn two and they hit the dog leg. It'll be a lot like Richmond, where you come out of the backstretch and you pick up at the dog leg, the start-finish line. That's going to be the configuration of Phoenix going forward after this weekend's race.
And I really think that's going to be very interesting. Not only the Charlotte Roval, but I think the Phoenix second race, I think that's also going to be another one, you know, that'll determine, you know, who's going to make it to the championship for this year.
You know, as long as I got you here, and I know I can see him in the little box because he is the man in the box, Mr. Eddie Focus, we got to figure out, and this is something we have to do, and I'm going to bring it up every week until he signs on and says, "All right, you jackasses, I'm going to do it." The Bank of America 500 is run Sunday, September 30th at 2 p.m. live on NBC. That's going to be the debut of the Charlotte Roval, the road course that is on a super speedway. Eddie likes to give me a lot of junk about go fast, turn left. Why don't they ever turn right? Well, now instead of twice a year, I've got another ace in the hole. Now they do it three times a year. Ed's going to be on my couch. Hopefully we can get you on my couch. We'll all get together. We'll watch a Charlotte Roval. Maybe we'll live stream. Maybe we'll podcast right there. I don't know. But Ed, I know you're listening. I can see your eyebrow moving. I can see you shaking your head. If I have to drag you here myself, you're going to watch these cars go left, right, sideways, forward, upside down, doesn't matter. Well, Danica's not in it, so nobody's going upside down.
Right.
So That'd be a great time to have everybody in the same room. Maybe we could do it at Mark's house. He kind of wants to put together all of us in a room. So we'll talk about that. Real quick for me, plugs. Obviously, www.lokiandjabroni.com. Go find out about the other podcast, the flagship, the mothership of the Focus Digital Network. The best podcast you've never listened to. And if you have listened to it, thank you so much. If you want some great gear, www.cafepress.com/Loki and Jabroni. We are working diligently to get you new products all the time. If you want to shop one of our affiliates and help both shows, the C&J Speedway Review and the Loki and Jabroni Show, you go to www.lokiandjabroni.com. Click the affiliate link at the top of the page. You got Amazon, you got iHome, you got Zounds, you got WWE, constantly working to get new and exciting affiliates there for you to shop and help the show grow. Also, one last thing. I'm going to say it again. Next week, we're going to have a big announcement about a giveaway for you. Yes, you, the loyal listener. And you, the new listener. The time frame is probably going to be figured out by Corey, Eddie, and myself in the next week or so.
All right.
Once the rules are down, that's it. This is how you win, and this is what you win. Now, we all know what you can win. That's for you to find out next week. So tell your friends, if they're a NASCAR fan, this is the place to be. Free stuff doesn't fall out of trees, my friend. It comes from C&J Speedway Review.
Yes.
So with that in mind, he's Corey. I'm Chris. Behind the box over there, still shaking his head, picking his nose, holding the thumbs up. His name is Eddie Focus. Now he's giving me the finger. You guys have a great night. We will see you next Wednesday to talk about the action at Phoenix Raceway.
Good night.